You know the dream, right? You are sitting on a beach somewhere, maybe sipping an ice-cold drink, and your phone gives a satisfying little buzz.
Oh, the classic fantasy.
Exactly. It's a notification that your passive real estate income just, hit your bank account. You smile, put the phone down, and just go back to watching the waves.
Yeah, that is the universal fantasy of property investment we were all sold at some point.
It really is. But then the reality hits. Because it is not a beach. It is 2 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday.
Right, and it's raining.
Always raining. And that phone buzz is actually an angry tenant screaming that the pipes just burst. There is water pouring through the living room ceiling, and you need to find an emergency plumber right this second.
Suddenly, that so-called passive income feels like a second, incredibly stressful full-time job.
I mean, it really is a paradox, isn't it?
It's the ultimate paradox of traditional real estate. We chase the idea of financial freedom and wealth preservation, but what we often end up acquiring is just, well, a massive
It's
liability.
physical liability.
Exactly. We buy into this mountain of physical maintenance, unpredictable tenant disputes, and dense legal paperwork that just it ties up our time just as much as our capital.
And that exact tension between the fantasy of passive income and the harsh reality of active management is exactly why we are here today.
Absolutely.
For this deep dive, we are looking at the source material titled Navigating the Osul Gamma Real Estate Investment Process.
It's a really fascinating read.
It is, and our mission today is to distill exactly how this digital fractional platform actually operates under the hood. We are going to strip away the financial jargon, all the buzzwords, and figure out if this process is a viable shortcut to being well-informed for you, the listener.
Or, if it is just trading one set of headaches for another.
Right, because whether you are actively trying to diversify your portfolio, or maybe you're just catching up on how modern digital platforms are restructuring old-school assets.
Or maybe you're just insanely curious about how fractional real estate actually moves money from point A to point B.
Exactly. We're going to respect your time. We want to give you those aha moments you're looking for without making you feel overwhelmed by just, a massive wall of data.
Which is easy to do with real estate.
Oh, so easy. Okay, let's unpack this the fundamental difference between traditional real estate and this Osul Gamma method.
Let's do it.
Because when looking at traditional property investing, it honestly feels like buying the entire farm just to get a single glass of milk.
That is a great way to put it.
I mean, you need a massive cash deposit, you have to beg a bank for financing approval, and then you are personally on the hook for every broken window and every empty month where a tenant moves out.
Right. What's fascinating here is how the platform fundamentally separates the act of financial investment from the physical burden of day-to-day management.
So they just sever that link entirely.
Yes, that is the core economic innovation we are looking at in the source text. It is built entirely on the concept of shared ownership, effectively democratizing access to an asset class that historically required massive capital concentration.
So instead of me buying the whole farm.
Exactly. Instead of you, the individual, taking on the leverage and the liability of buying that entire farm, the platform itself takes on the heavy operational lifting.
So what does that actually look like?
Well, they source the properties, they assess the structural and financial viability, they list them within their digital ecosystem, and most crucially, they handle the entire operational side of the physical building.
Wow. So, like, the legal registrations, the property management firm, the tenant who locked themselves out at midnight, all of that friction is completely removed from my plate.
Yes, 100%. The platform effectively abstracts the physical property into a purely financial asset for the user.
Abstracting the physical property. That's a good phrase.
Yeah, and by absorbing all those legalities and tenant issues, they drastically lower the barrier to entry. This allows for significantly smaller investment amounts.
Which changes the game for normal people.
Right, because if you are not forced to tie up hundreds of thousands of dollars in a single building just to gain market exposure, diversification becomes a realistic strategy.
Rather than just a luxury reserve for like huge institutional investors.
Exactly. You can spread your capital across different asset classes, neighborhoods, and risk profiles.
Okay, I hear that, but I have to push back a little here.
Go for it.
I understand the appeal of abstracting the physical asset, but if the platform is doing all the sourcing, the vetting, and the management, what am I actually doing? Am I just a pool of dumb money?
I wouldn't say dumb money, but.
Because giving up control sounds fantastic when we're talking about broken pipes at 2 a.m. But giving up the steering wheel also means you do not get to choose the route, right?
That is a very valid concern. And honestly, it is a trap many novice investors fall into when they hear the word passive.
They just think they can check out completely.
Exactly. But the Osul Gamma model does not want you totally checked out. While you take a passive role regarding the physical operations, you are absolutely required to take an active role in the financial strategy.
Okay, so I still have to make decisions.
Yes. The platform provides the vetted options, but you, the investor, are still entirely responsible for capital allocation.
Got it.
You have to review the available opportunities, understand exactly how the returns for a specific building are generated, and weigh the macroeconomic risks.
So I'm looking at interest rates, market trends, that kind of thing.
Right. You are deciding your liquidity horizon and your risk tolerance. The process does not magically erase risk. It merely shifts your focus from managing a building to managing a portfolio.
Okay. That distinction makes a lot of sense. I am getting the exposure to the returns, but I am not the landlord holding a wrench.
Exactly.
I am the portfolio manager.
You are.
Since the primary appeal here seems to be removing those traditional stressful barriers, I want to look at how a person actually steps through the door into this ecosystem.
The onboarding experience.
Right, because usually when you sign up for a modern financial platform, they are aggressively shaking you by the ankles.
Oh, absolutely. They want your money immediately.
Yeah. They want you to link your checking account and deposit funds within like 30 seconds of downloading the app.
It's very high pressure.
But according to the source material, the Osul Gamma account creation process feels completely different.
It does.
It operates much more like a financial dressing room. You can walk in, browse the inventory, try things on, and see how the numbers look in the mirror before you ever have to take out your wallet.
The dressing room analogy captures the behavioral design of the platform perfectly.
Because they actually slow you down, right?
Yes. The onboarding phase is explicitly engineered around identity, access, and compliance.
Yeah.
They are actively delaying the commitment of funds.
Which is so rare.
It is. They want the new user to move at their own pace and understand the mechanics before any capital is at risk.
I want to dig into that compliance piece because nobody wants to invest in a platform that operates like a wild west of anonymous crypto wallets.
Exactly. You need regulation.
How does the setup actually build that necessary trust?
It relies heavily on standard institutional KYC protocols.
Know your customer.
Right. So you establish a basic presence with your personal information, but then you hit the identity verification phase.
And this is where you have to upload your passport or driver's license.
Yes, you are required to submit official documentation to prove your identity.
I feel like a lot of retail investors hate that part.
Oh, they find it incredibly tedious in an era of instant gratification. But this is the crucial mechanism that protects the integrity of the platform.
It keeps the bad actors out.
Exactly. It reduces fraud, prevents money laundering, and ensures that the platform remains compliant with financial regulators.
Right, which makes your money safer in the long run.
Yes. And once you cross that institutional hurdle, the friction drops entirely, and you are granted full dashboard access.
Which is where that dressing room really opens up.
You can see everything.
Yeah, you get to see the actual performance summaries of the assets and dig into the educational materials without having deposited a single cent.
Zero financial commitment at this stage.
And that leads directly into this concept of the preference review, which the source text highlights. Why dedicate an entire stage of the user journey just to browsing?
Well, because fractional real estate is incredibly nuanced.
It's not just buying a stock ticker.
Right. During the preference review stage, you are not just looking at pretty pictures of buildings. You are actively exploring complex property types, analyzing projected return models, and most importantly, checking out holding periods.
So they want you to really get it.
The stated goal is to give you complete visibility. They want you to understand how the underlying economics work and determine what actually aligns with your personal financial goals.
It's like they are forcing you to do your homework.
Exactly. It is a calculated design choice to reduce the psychological pressure to invest immediately. It supports informed strategic decision-making over impulsive buying.
It is a low-pressure learning phase, which I really appreciate. But eventually, you know, you do have to leave the dressing room. You have to buy the suit.
Right. Capital has to move.
Exactly. How does actual financial participation work if we are skipping all the traditional legal paperwork and mortgage brokers?
It's much more streamlined.
And I want to challenge this, actually, because friction is sometimes a good thing in investing.
It slows you down.
Right. It prevents me from making bad emotional decisions. If I can buy a fraction of a commercial high-rise while waiting for my coffee with just a few taps on a screen, doesn't that gamification encourage reckless portfolio allocation?
It absolutely can if the investor treats it like a casino.
Which people do.
They definitely do. The removal of friction is a double-edged sword. However, the Usul Ghana platform attempts to reintroduce positive friction through structural transparency.
Okay, positive friction. I like that.
You are moving from the learning phase to active participation, but you are not just throwing darts at a board. You are reviewing opportunities that have already been vetted for structural and financial soundness.
So it feels a bit like sitting down at a fancy curated restaurant.
How so?
Well, the chef has already hunted down the best ingredients, prepped the kitchen, and designed the menu. I do not have to chop any onions or negotiate with the local farmers.
Right, the hard work is done.
But I still have to look at the menu and pick the right meal for my specific diet.
Ah, I see.
Because if I am allergic to shellfish, I should not order the crab, no matter how easy it is to point at it on the menu. If my portfolio cannot handle illiquidity, I shouldn't be pointing at a 10-year commercial lockup.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that is exactly how the capital allocation flow is designed to work.
Okay.
You begin by transferring your funds into a digital platform wallet, essentially loading your purchasing power.
Getting your cash ready.
Then you sit down with that curated menu. You review the properties, but you are specifically analyzing key metrics.
What are those metrics?
The asset type, the geographic location, the expected income model, and the holding period.
Let's pause on the holding period because that is the ultimate friction, isn't it?
It really is.
It's how long my money is legally locked inside that physical building.
It is the most critical metric on the board. Fractional real estate is not a highly liquid stock that you can day trade.
You can't just sell it at 3 p.m. on a Friday.
Exactly. You are buying a share of a physical, illiquid asset. The holding period dictates your time horizon. Once you understand that, you move to the selection phase, choosing exactly how much of your wallet balance to allocate to a specific property.
And the source material has a pretty strong warning about this part, right?
It does. The platform strongly enforces a core investing principle here. Do not concentrate all your funds into one single opportunity.
So do not put all your eggs in one basket, even if it looks like a really beautiful high-yield basket.
Precisely. If that specific property faces an unforeseen zoning issue or a localized market downturn, you want your overall portfolio protected by other assets in different regions or sectors.
Right, so you allocate across a few different properties.
Yes. And the final step is a strict confirmation process. You are forced to double-check the terms, acknowledge the risks, and specifically confirm your understanding of those holding periods before the capital is officially deployed.
So you can't say you didn't know.
Exactly. It balances the ease of a digital interface with the gravity of a real estate transaction.
Okay, so the capital's allocated, the meal has been ordered, which triggers the ultimate question every single investor has, the only question that really matters at the end of the day.
When do I get paid?
Exactly. How and when does the money actually come back to me? Here's where it gets really interesting, because when you look at how returns are generated in this model, it feels a lot like farming crops.
Okay, I am curious to hear how you connect real estate tokenization to agriculture.
Stick with me here. Returns in this ecosystem are intrinsically linked to the performance of the underlying physical property, right?
Right.
So some of these investments are like planting an apple tree. You buy the tree, and every season it yields apples. You pick them, you sell them, and you get a steady stream of income without ever having to chop down the tree itself.
Ah, so that represents your standard rental income, the yield.
Exactly. But other investments are like planting timber.
Oh.
You do not get any apples along the way. You just watch the trees slowly grow for 5 or 10 years, and the only way you get paid is when you finally cut the whole forest down and sell the wood.
Which is your profit from a capital sale?
Right. And then there are mixed models. Maybe you get a few apples every year to keep you happy, but the massive payoff is still chopping down the timber at the end of the decade.
That is actually a brilliant way to conceptualize the different return structures, and it maps perfectly onto the Usul Ghana frameworks we see in the text.
It really clicked for me when I read it that way.
They utilize three primary payout mechanisms. The first is periodic income payouts to your apple tree.
Nice.
These are distributed at regular intervals, usually monthly or quarterly, directly tied to the rental performance of the building and credited straight to your digital wallet.
So that's the cash flow.
Yes. The second is end-of-term payouts your timber. These models focus aggressively on value growth and appreciation.
So no monthly checks for those.
Correct. You do not see periodic cash flow. Instead, all your returns are distributed in a lump sum when the asset is finally sold at the end of its predetermined holding period.
Got it.
And the third is the mixed income model.
The apples and the timber.
Exactly. Which provides smaller periodic payouts to provide some liquidity along the way, culminating in a larger return when the investment term officially concludes and the asset is liquidated.
It is a highly flexible system because it allows the investor to choose the crop that fits their specific financial season.
That's a good way to look at it.
If I need cash flow now to pay bills, I buy apple trees. If I am parking money for retirement in 20 years, I plant timber.
Why? But we have to ground this enthusiasm.
Always.
Real estate is not magic. Apples can rot on the branch. Timber can burn down in a forest fire.
A vital reality check.
The Osul Gamma process, like any investment vehicle, does not guarantee profits. Real estate markets fluctuate. Neighborhoods change. Macroeconomic interest rates impact property valuations.
Things outside of your control or the platform's control.
Yes. And crucially, your liquidity, your ability to exit the investment and convert your fractional share back into usable cash, is strictly constrained by those holding periods you agreed to during the allocation phase.
Right. You cannot just demand your money back halfway through a five-year term because you suddenly want to renovate your own kitchen.
Exactly. You cannot harvest the timber when it is only 2 feet tall and expect to get paid for a full-grown tree.
Wow. Yes. Your exit options are completely dictated by the specific terms of that asset.
But when a payout does occur, whether it is yield or a final sale, the platform makes the capital movement seamless.
It just pops back into your wallet.
Yeah. You track everything through your dashboard and you face a strategic choice. You can withdraw those returns to your personal bank account.
Just spend it.
Or you can utilize the platform's frictionless ecosystem to immediately reinvest those payouts into new opportunities, compounding your growth.
So we have mapped out the entire journey. We walked into the financial dressing room, navigated the compliance hurdles, ordered off the curated menu of properties, and figured out how to harvest our apples and timber.
We covered a lot of ground.
We did. So what does this all mean?
It's the big question.
Having seen the entire map of the Osul Gamma process, I think the final step for you listening is a moment of self-reflection.
Absolutely.
Does your personal financial profile actually fit this specific vehicle? Because giving up the burden of management sounds incredible. But as we discussed, giving up the steering wheel means you are bound to the platform's timelines. Is that lack of ultimate control a deal breaker?
This raises an important question. And it is a tension that defines the entire fractional real estate industry.
Because it's not for everyone.
The Osul Gamma process is absolutely not designed to fit every single investor. It is fundamentally an exchange of control for convenience and access.
Okay, so who exactly is this ecosystem built for? What does the ideal user look like?
Based on the source material, there are three primary profiles that benefit most from this structure. First, we have the first-time real estate investors.
The beginners.
Right. These are individuals who want to understand how property-backed assets behave in a portfolio, but they want to start with smaller amounts. They're using the platform to learn without taking on the massive upfront financial risk of buying a whole property.
That makes sense. It's a safer sandbox to play in. Who is the second profile?
Second, we have busy professionals. Think of the surgeon or the software engineer.
People with demanding day jobs.
Exactly. They want passive exposure to real estate returns to build wealth. But their schedules simply do not allow them the time to manage physical properties, chase down late rent, or deal with contractors.
They want the financial results without taking on a second job.
That makes total sense. The surgeon should be in the operating room, not trying to figure out why a basement in another state is flooding.
Exactly. And the third profile?
The diversification-focused investor.
Okay.
These are individuals who likely already have capital deployed in equities, bonds, or crypto. They want to add hard real estate to their overall portfolio to hedge against inflation.
Because physical assets are good for that.
Yes. But they understand the danger of concentrating all their available capital into one single physical property. The platform allows them to spread that risk efficiently.
Okay, that brings us to the necessary flip side. Who should look at this platform and walk the other way?
If you are an investor who craves full operational control.
The hands-on types.
Right. If your strategy involves buying distressed properties, picking the paying colors, acting as the general contractor, and deciding the exact optimal month to sell the asset, this fractional process will be incredibly frustrating for you.
Because you have no operational voice.
None at all. Furthermore, if your financial situation requires immediate liquid cash, this is the wrong asset class entirely.
Because of the timber, the holding periods.
Exactly. As we emphasized, your money is tied up in the physical reality of concrete and steel. Understanding your own goals, your need for control, and your liquidity limitations is a mandatory step before committing a single dollar here.
Which brings us full circle. To summarize our deep dive today, the Ocil Gamma process is a fascinating mechanical shift in how we interact with property.
It really is.
It dramatically lowers the barrier to entry by abstracting the asset. It strips away the management headaches, the massive deposits, and the endless legal paperwork that have historically gatekept the real estate market. And this is a massive, but it still demands that you, the investor, show up to do the strategic work.
You can't just set it and forget it completely.
No, you still have to carefully review holding timelines, realistically assess your own risk tolerance, and understand the specific asset types you are buying into. The platform makes the mechanics visible and the transactions frictionless, but it absolutely does not make the hard financial decisions for you.
No, it doesn't. And as we observe this broader macroeconomic shift from traditional physical ownership to digital fractional participation, I want to leave you with a final thought to chew on.
Okay, let's hear it.
This platform successfully separates the physical management of a building from the financial benefit of owning it. If fractional ownership platforms like this become the new global standard, how will that fundamentally alter the psychological concept of home ownership for future generations?
Wow, yeah.
Will the traditional pride of owning a physical building, of pointing to a brick and mortar structure on a street corner and saying, "That is mine," be completely replaced by the quiet, abstract satisfaction of holding a diversified digital portfolio of property shares on a glowing screen?
That's a huge shift.
It is a shift that could change not just how we invest, but our entire cultural relationship with the spaces we inhabit and build.
That is a wild thought to end on. We're essentially trading a heavy ring of brass keys for a digital dashboard.
Basically, yeah.
But hey, at least a digital dashboard doesn't call you at 2 a.m. with a plumbing emergency.
Very true.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Ocil Gamma process. We hope it gave you some clarity on how the mechanics actually work and provided a few of those aha moments to help you navigate your own portfolio. Until next time, keep questioning, keep learning, and keep exploring.